Why, hello there, stranger. Glad to see you once again back at River's Edge. I'm Cat Church, your host on Spiritlands Radio. It's broadcast around the world at spiritlandsradio.com. So turn on, tune in, and visit us on the web at spiritlandsradio.com for your schedules, playlists, archives, and more. This is the 5th anniversary episode of The River's Edge. 5 years, everyone. Still here, standing at the edge, watching the river flow. And as always, I'll see you on the other side of The River's Edge.
Sacha Shulgin. Some call him the father of MDMA, but in fact he is one of the leading researchers in entheogens, in chemicals that change our mood, our brain. Now, what I'm interested in, Sacha, is the roots of this all. I mean, you started working this as a scientist in a laboratory with modern means, but doesn't all this searching for the alternative goes back many, many, many centuries?
Well, you have to realize what I'm searching for, which is not for altering consciousness or for having fun or for enjoying this or for discovering that. I'm looking for tools that can be used for studying the mind. And other people then will use the tools in finding out the aspects of the mental process and how it ties to the brain. But my main drive is a tool maker, making of tools, and letting other people exploit them.
But that means you have a fascination with how the mind, how the brain works.
Completely fascinated, but not the brain, the mind. The brain is now, we're in the decade of the brain. Everyone looking at neurotransmitters here and serotonin and dopamine and all these sort of things, which is a marvelous search. And indeed, they're uncovering many peculiarities of neurological connections, but many are being found in animals. And in fact, the animal is the main location for search, for research. And I'm interested in things that affect the mental process, the function of the mind, which is not necessarily to be found in an animal. So the questions I am addressing are, how does one affect the attitude towards something, the self-image of something, the feeling of religious ecstasy or of fear and paranoia, something you can't see in a rat.
Is that true? Do you think that that's the difference between human beings and animals? That
I cannot conceive of how a rat would have a good self-image or a bad self-image. I might see how he behaves to a stimulus, or I might retreat from an attack, or I might be lured by some pheromone into some relationship. But a self-image, or the knowledge that he is mortal and he must achieve something or other before his death, the sense that he has an ominous apprehension of something that might occur in the future, the memory of an early life experience, earlier incarnation, reincarnation. These are interesting aspects of the human mind, but they're not, that, to my knowledge of a part of the rats.
Well, a long time ago, there was St. Francis in Italy, and I like that. He went out and preached to the animals and the birds, so there must be something.
Well, maybe he enjoyed that form of interaction. Did the birds respond well? I don't remember.
There is no order of the birds yet.
But there is a St. Francis.
There is a St. Francis, and he changed things. San Francisco, for one thing. Can you, when you go back to when you were young, what was there something that made you go for the mind?
Yes, it was an extraordinary experience with mescaline. Oh, gosh, about 40, maybe 40 years ago. I was given in an experimental setting 350 milligrams of mescaline sulfate, and I knew intellectually what it was and what it did, but I did not know personally what it was and what it did. There were about 10 of us together, and about half of us were experimental subjects, and half of the people were babysitters. And I went in it with rather an open view of what was going to happen, and I was totally dumbfounded by what occurred. I suddenly found myself into an extraordinary world, physical world, around me, visual, sensory world of color, of interpretation, of motion, of form, of shape. And my first response was to say, how did this drug do this? How did 350 milligrams of a white solid produce this effect? And then I realized the drug had almost nothing to do with it. That drug allowed me to realize, express, to appreciate. I was there all along, and I was totally blind to it. So what it did, it catalyzed the opening of my own viewing, and that caught my attention. And from that point on, I've been in research in this world ever since.
Yeah, but go further back, because the fact that you were even willing to do an experiment like that must have had earlier roots. I mean, how was your parents? Were they obsessed with the mind? Was there a school that said, hey, this is...
No, I think probably immediately prior to this experiment, I had been exploring psycho-this-that changes. I'd been reading everything I could upon things that were sedatives, that were narcotics, everything from vasodilators of yohimbine, which might be aphrodisiacs, to the psychedelic drugs, and the word psychedelic did not exist, but to drugs that might be involved in changing the point of view or attitude of people, things that might be in with some religious context. I was intellectually preparing myself for this event. Why was I interested at all? That would go back yet younger, when I was in my pre-adolescence, in which I found myself in a very interesting interaction with some kind of an alter me, an alter ego. I had very few, in fact, I had virtually no good friends. The few I had were either aggressive or destructive. Mm-hmm. And so I was more or less a loner. And I got deeply involved in music. I found that good retreat in that. But being in music alienated me with yet other people who were in the physical world of sports and what have you. And so I more or less pursued my own relationships with my own unconscious. And I did not realize at that time that that was a potential ally, and I saw it as a not particularly friendly component.
Could you, if you say that, could it be that you were searching for the dark depths of your mind, because the fact that other people didn't like you, you were a little bit of a loner, that made you doubt yourself, and that these substances and this research gave you an opportunity to look deeper into yourself?
Well, I did not know at that time that there was any research or any world like this out there. I had to live totally within myself. I remember the pleasures I had in being underneath a fence that was behind the house. I lived in Berkeley at that time, in California. And the fence was a honeysuckle fence. And on it were these marvelous little blossoms that you could bite the end off and have a very sweet drop of fluid. And I found that was an ally in the sense that here was something that made me feel at home. And yet my neighbor and my parents owned the fence, but the path underneath it went on both sides. And I could, in essence, straddle across both worlds and use the...
You still do that, huh?
I still do that, yeah. But I use the honeysuckle as sort of as a personal palliative retreat. And it was a personal friend of mine. And I established a good relationship with that plant, and maybe that was the beginning of a relationship with plant and plant materials. Just the sweetness and the absolute trustworthiness of honeysuckle.
In the beginning we were scrambled together, mixed in a celestial ball and hand fluffed with a feather, and the tears of bliss were not amiss. It was a good day. On the second day we created the earth, tickled in irony as we made love upon its girth, and to our delight, the sun gave us the stars. Creation of the moon was a miracle of light, descended from a rift in the dark star of night. My veins pulsed butter as it illuminated my thighs. On the fourth day, we felt compelled to whistle, for how could we call the lovebirds to nestle and keep us company? In this world, anew and fresh. Today I paint to life the portrait of a sacred friend, a perfect wife in synesthesia. Together we'll fill the world with colored wine, but the story nears the present time. The restlessness awake up calls. Years have flown fast, but then was counting. The war's been won, but there's few left standing between us and the shadows of Christmas past. Critically acclaimed, but sadly underrated. Fortune definitely favored us, but no one celebrated. Our wits were splitting at their ends. We gazed upon city lights, we each laughed aloud one final time and agreed, this is one thing we miss. And as we held our breath and forced our will, the minutes stopped, the air was still, and minds began to unlearn their faltered ways. We blasted through the hills, they were the first to go, the most painful soul, because we made them first, when we learned to bleed with the fingers of the seeds that we sowed in the dirt. And then we cried when we came in the glorious master of scorch the earth with our tears. We burn them in fear until there's nothing left. Nothing left. Nothing, nothing left but us.
Thank you. up, you tend to get told that the world is the way it is, and your life is just to live your life inside the world, try not to bash into the walls too much, try to have a nice family life, have fun, save a little money. But life, that's a very limited life. Life can be much broader once you discover one simple fact, and that is everything around you that you call life was made up by people that were no smarter than you. And you can change it. You can influence it. You can build your own things that other people can use. And the minute that you understand that you can poke life and actually something will, you know, if you push in, something will pop out the other side, that you can change it, you can mold it. That's maybe the most important thing, is to shake off this erroneous notion that life is there and you're just going to live it, versus embrace it, change it, improve it, make your mark upon it. I think that's very important. And however you learn that, once you learn it, you want to change life and make it better, because it's kind of messed up in a lot of ways. Once you learn that, you'll never be the same again.
Let's fly, baby. High and strong. We catch the dream. Our dream of sweet, sweet love. Let's fly. Let's fly.
And I hope you're flying high. Looking down at the river's edge. On Catfish Rivers, the bottom feeder with flow. Spear Plants Radio. Broadcasting around the world. SpearPlantsRadio.com. Turn on. Tune in.
Of horrors that they think it may be the result of a weird way to get high. take.
Hi, July 6th, 2007, about 4:30 p.m. I'm just wondering what the heck is in our water supply, what the heck is in our oxygen supply of the metallic oxide salt that create a rainbow effect in a sprinkler. What is oozing out of our ground that allows this type of effect to happen? Not just around our sun and our moon anymore, everywhere we look, the visible spectrum is rainbows. This cannot be natural. We all know it wasn't something that happened 20 years ago, but now it's happening now. We as a nation have got to ask ourselves, what the hell is going on?
Thank you.
cannot hear. Frightened of the sunset. It's a silent explosion happening at the end of the world. Everything pulls itself. Thank you.
Ministers fled the island, never to return. What my grandfather had started out of expediency, my father continued out of love. He brought me up the same way, to reverence the music and the drama and the rituals of the old gods, to love nature and to fear it, and to rely on it and to appease it where necessary.
He brought you up to be a pagan.
A heathen, conceivably, but not, I hope, an unenlightened one.
Forever, we never.
castle of ice. Is this though the body of Christ passing through a wedding like rice, like mom and dad? She looks like an African queen.
Schedules, playlists, archives, and more.
just one last thing. From the bottom of my very heart, Sasha, I love you and thank you. Your life is a beautiful gift to this world.